6 on the Mike McFeely Show on the mighty 790 KFGO. Clay Jenkinson, our usual Monday guest in this spot, is actually in studio, as well as David Borlaug from the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center. Do I have that correct, David?
That works today.
Works good enough for you?
Of which the Dakota Institute is a subset. And so that's
absolutely
why I'm in town to do a book signing. But really, as you know, we're on every week together, sometimes twice, but usually once. And it's for, I know it probably sounds meaningless to you, but it's the highlight of my week. And so as a sign of deep appreciation, David Borlaug has brought you a splendid gift basket. I'm guessing you get none of those here.
No, I don't.
And I brought you this lovely gift to remind you of where your heart
can
is.
Can I open this
yes,
on the
please,
air?
Yes.
We don't have any streaming video here, so it doesn't.
Yeah. See?
Nice wrapping job.
Yeah, thanks.
What is this?
I think it's quite splendid.
It is quite splendid. It's a salt and pepper shaker set of a cowboy guy sitting down cross-legged.
There's a cowboy sitting cross-legged, and he's holding a salt shaker in one hand. Don't you think that's rather stunning as art?
I think that's incredibly stunning as art, yes.
You don't see that everywhere.
Thank you. No, you don't.
You couldn't get that at Zambros,
especially
for example.
Not in my house.
This is, I think, what qualifies as kitsch in this country.
I think it is.
That's, I think, the very definition of kitsch.
Where did you find this?
If I said, there'd be a run on them. These are a cowboy.
No, probably not. But
sitting with
a
salt shaker under one arm. And this was at a gas station when we stopped for gas. But the important part, I immediately thought about you.
Well, that is nice.
You came right to mind.
And apparently you gift shop the same way I do when I am going through an airport and I go, Oh God, I forgot a souvenir for Emma.
But all jokes aside, when you take that home and have a dinner party, people are going to say, Mike, where'd you get the splendid salt and pepper holder?
I'll have a story to tell.
Right. And then what will you say?
I got it from Clay Jenkinson.
They'll
who
say.
Picked it up at a convenience store off of I-94 on the way from Bismarck to Fargo.
Exactly. But, right? You know, I could have brought you a decal or a can of heat or some 2050 oil, but I brought you a splendid and very expensive gift.
You went all out.
I
appreciate
that.
That's
$15 more than you've invested in me.
That's a good point.
Yes, yes. But I like it.
That's a fair point.
Look at it. He's
fine.
Holding salt and pepper.
Yes, yes. What,
how often do you see that in the Old West?
Actually, you never see a cowboy sitting cross-legged in the Old West.
If you're holding salt and pepper shakers, you do.
Especially with chaps on. I'm not sure that it's even physically
possible.
There's
a side saddle if you look behind there, I think, someplace.
But once you fill those up with salt and pepper, that's going to be a very tasteful centerpiece.
I'm hosting my monthly cooking club a week from tonight with my buddies from the media world and other worlds. If you guys happen to be in town that day, Monday,
it would be really fun.
You'd stop on over. I'm going to fry up some fish walleye from Devil's Lake or perch.
You actually catch fish.
Yes, and I cook them
up. But here's what I would do.
This will be in the middle of my table.
Serve eggnog and put cinnamon in one and nutmeg in the other.
You're
so cultured. It's kind of a holiday theme. You know?
You're so cultured.
But he has a hat on. He has a little goatee. A scarf.
A bandana.
A bandana. And in
which
one
looks
arm.
Like it has puppy paw prints on it.
In one arm, salt, and the other pepper, which is so natural. That's why that was how the West was won.
With salt and
the
pepper.
The pepper mines in Montana.
This has just been placed on Facebook. All of Mike and Clay's friends will find
it. At least we're using radio to its maximum effect here.
Yes.
It's that multiple platform thing, Mike.
I just want the world to know that I came bearing gifts.
Thank you.
Yes.
You told me in the break room you had frankincense and myrrh.
That's over here.
Myrrh is Borlaug.
Oh,
frankincense.
Because I
want
some myrrh. I'm running short on myrrh. And I have a cowboy at home that has a couple of shakers that I put myrrh in, actually.
Yes.
So
you can buy medicinal
myrrh.
It's
a good thing you live on the Minnesota side. It's now legal in Minnesota.
Medicinal myrrh in Wadena.
What is myrrh, by the way?
It's banned in many states.
If you
I
have
can
to
tell
ask.
You that. So Zambros tonight at 6
yes.
for a book signing.
You guys just go ahead. I'll just sit back and you guys just talk amongst yourselves.
Somebody said that a woman said, we won't name names, but in this facility, we like it best when you and Jenkinson come to play with Pinto and Mike.
Really?
She said that.
And we heard that.
Nice.
An insider. And the woman at the front desk said, who are you two? And what are you selling?
She had her finger on the button.
Yeah, exactly. I said I have a salt and pepper facility.
Cowboy for
yeah,
Mike.
For cowboy, yes. Yeah. So you said you had questions from your...
So tonight, let's do the promo thing first.
I've been trying to do it here.
No, you haven't. You've been talking about Zambros, your frankincense and myrrh
I'm the director of the Dakota Institute. We have a press. We sell books. And tonight at Zambros, I shall be there in the back room signing books and talking.
Now, have you written a new book since the last time you were in studio? Or is it the same old book you wrote a long time ago?
I don't think I like your attitude. I have not written a new book. I'm writing a new book. But these are evergreen books. These are books that they're timeless.
Oh, they are.
They're like Charles Dickens, you know?
Just like those.
Christmas Carol.
Which book are you signing tonight?
I'm signing my three books. My Lewis book.
Excellent. Read that.
I gave that to you.
Yes.
My North Dakota book of essays about North Dakota. You frequently mention them on Mondays when we talk here.
Read that.
And I was surprised that we did not talk more about Mad Dog Vachon. But
we spent 15 minutes talking about Mad Dog
Vachon. We spent 20 minutes on a salt shaker.
That's your fault, not mine. What other book are you going to be talking about?
And then my big Theodore Roosevelt coffee table book called Free and Hardy Life, Theodore Roosevelt and the American
Great
West.
Book. Beautiful.
So those are three books. And then we have a book about the Nez Perce, a new book. It's by a tribal elder about Lewis and Clark and the Nez Perce. David can tell you more about that. Tell us about our recent books, David Warlog. I'm kind of guest hosting here.
I'll just sit back and let you guys have the show. Go ahead, David. Tell us about the books.
New Hampshire by Eight, by the way.
Clay did not write them, so he will not be signing them. Maybe we should just go straight to my gifts. Actually, there are a number of great books you'll find at Zambros, online, at our website as well, fortmandan.com. And we're very, very proud of all of them. And, you know, you're big into founding fathers around here.
Really big, yes.
Really?
And Benjamin Franklin.
Joel?
I often mention in my program what the founding fathers would want and what they meant by writing the Constitution and then how we're deviating away from that in this country today because of Obamacare.
How Tea Party of you.
Oh, my. back to books. It was one of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin,
yes.
who once said,
he was a Tea Party
with
guy.
Zambros in mind, he said, the only book purchase you'll ever regret is the one you didn't make.
Oh, he was looking way
so
ahead.
I think all listeners should keep that in mind. Show up at Zambros. Clay will be holding forth. There will be a presentation.
Better than this, by the way.
Yeah, well.
You got to suit up for this one.
I'll be there in the back forcing people into the room. But come on in.
We usually have a full house, really.
Yeah, we always have
last
a full house.
You came
yes,
last time.
I did.
And you stood in the back and you were like,
Clay!
Can't you main me?
Remember me?
Yeah.
No, I'll be at bowling tonight.
But bring the... Are you bowl?
Yeah, I'll be at bowling tonight.
You bowl.
I knew you'd love that.
Hey, there's fishing and bowling and sports. He's multi-faceted.
There's a monument to the poverty of the human imagination. You're in a bowling league. You are in a bowling league? And you're being snobby about my pepper and salt shaker?
Yeah, what's wrong with bowling?
Take it to the bowling alley. You'll get bids on it. Your buddies will want that.
You use the word holiday on the show to describe a vacation. So you're clearly European and continental and probably not even American.
I'm Al-Qaeda. And my birth certificate has never been found.
You like this president, so here you are in the studio.
I'm kind of disappointed with this president, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I mean, it's kind of a B-, now, isn't it? At best.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, no, what would you say?
How would you grade him? About a C minus to a D plus.
And
right now.
Can you imagine anything that has been more profoundly screwed up than the launch of the Affordable Care Act?
No, I have not. And the Republicans have wisely taken advantage of that. And they'll take
advantage
of
it. Because they're not idiots. But are you part of the war on Santa or not?
No, of course not.
Because we do. We wanted to point out that we too believe Santa is white and Jesus too. We're just trying to get the phones to light up here, Mike.
Do you agree with Clay Jenkinson? Is Santa white? 237-5948. I avoid it as much as possible.
You should look at the Jon Stewart parody of it. It is absolutely world class on YouTube. Have you heard of this YouTube?
No, I have not. What is this thing?
Well, they put the videos on
up
there.
On the line?
Yeah.
On the computer.
On that internet.
On the internets?
Yeah.
I need to take a break. That was a heck of a 15 minutes there. That was fantastic. 237-5948. So now you've persuaded me, Clay Jenkinson, to leave this radio show at 5:01, run home the 15 miles or whatever it is.
Into Minnesota.
To Oakport Township across state lines, probably illegally.
I hope so.
Grab some walleye out of my freezer.
A lot of it.
Drive all the way back to downtown Fargo through traffic, probably getting a parking ticket because there's no place to park in downtown Fargo.
That is correct.
Also, I can give you a bag or two of walleye fillets.
That's how much you love the salt and pepper decanter, I'm going to call it. Decanter.
You can call it whatever you want to call it. It's very nice.
We have actual human questions.
We do. But first I need to thank David Borlaug for bringing me a gift basket from the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Museum gift shop.
Ask about the beef sticks.
Well, hey, David, what about those beef sticks?
They are not beef. They are bison. And I just want to remind you, the original Bison Nation is what we affectionately call the Lewis and Clark Trail.
Oh.
And Lewis and Clark loved bison, too. Just always remember that.
There was a death segue. I'm still with New Hampshire by 8.
So anyway, Clay, a couple of emails come in for you.
Yes, sir.
Mike, something you might want to discuss with Clay.
Yeah.
An oil company building roads in or adjacent to Little Missouri State Park damaged some trails used by hikers and horsemen visiting the park. The damaged area is on private land. The cost of repairing the damage is $150,000. The oil company, Burlington Resources, has agreed to pay half, and the state Parks and Rec will pay the other half. Why? Capital W-H-Y? Question mark. The damage is on private land, and the oil company caused the damage. Why does the taxpayer have to pick up half the cost?
Because otherwise it won't get done, because this is a curious public-private partnership. This is a unit development in underneath Little Missouri State Park. It's a huge deal, and it's probably in everyone's interest at this time to repair the trails.
But why do you have to negotiate on private? Why is this even negotiable if it's on private land and the oil company caused it? I think that's what the email is getting at. Why is the state in a position where it has to give in all the time in these situations?
I don't know the answer to that, but I would look at the covenant, because this is a very big unit development. In other words, this is not McFeely's 40 acres somewhere out near Grassy Butte. This is a gigantic play, and I think that there are probably elaborate cooperative covenants between the state and the oil companies. I don't know the answer, so I should just be quiet.
And a covenant is defined as a deal with the devil? Is that the right? Is that the correct?
Beelzebub.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
Beelzebub.
Another email comes in and says, question for Clay.
So far, I'm 0-1, by the way.
This sounds like an insider type question.
Oh, good.
This is a good one. On Thursday at the Industrial Commission meeting, Attorney General Wayne Stengem will release his list of special places that he thinks should be saved from oil development. I understand you, Clay, were a member of a group of advisors he consulted on this matter. Would you care to leak a little bit of what is on the Attorney General's list?
I've been leaking all the way from Bismarck.
And it continues right now.
Yeah, I felt honored to be asked by Wayne Stengem, the Attorney General of North Dakota, in an informal basis to give him my thoughts about what we should try to protect. These are not going to be saved, but if he is able to persuade the Industrial Commission to set aside certain special properties for unusually high conditions of development, in other words, they won't be spared, but they will be protected by stipulations about hiding the rigs, putting the storage facilities behind bluffs, not creating roads that will leave permanent scars, et cetera, et cetera. This will not deny anybody the development of their mineral rights, but it will create conditions of special caution to try to limit the damage to some extraordinary places in western North Dakota. I think it's a great thing.
Is the state catching up a little bit to what's been happening in the western part of the state? Because I get the sense that things at least are somewhat maybe slowing down a little bit. And I don't get out there. You live there and you live that.
That's why I brought you the salt and pepper shaker.
Yeah, clearly swimming in money in the western part of the state. What's going on?
Well, I do think that the infrastructure is catching up a little bit. We're having an extremely volatile winter. I mean, the cold was desperately cold there for a time. I don't think that the people from elsewhere had any idea. I don't think the people of North Dakota stood it very well. I also think that the oil boom is kind of moving in some other directions, because there are lots of these shale deposits in Colorado and Texas and so on. So we're no longer the hottest game in town.
That's why we need to cut the oil extraction tax so they don't leave us, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Did you pick up the sarcasm there?
I tried. I saw the sarcasm buzzer. And then I also think that the people of North Dakota are starting to realize the sex trafficking, the prostitution rings, the meth rings, the gang warfare, the murders, the mayhem, the knifings, the throwing of urine out onto the ground, the spills, etc. These things in their accumulative volume are beginning to upset the good people of North Dakota, and they realize, oh, this is not all good. There is going to be a downside. And I think that that consciousness is rising, and that Wayne Stengem, bless him, is the first senior North Dakota official who has realized this and wants to do something with it and not simply turn his back on it.
Will there be any others besides Wayne Stengem? Because I'm not seeing it. Or as we say on this program, I ain't seeing it.
Leadership has to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And of all the state elected officials, I believe that the Attorney General is out in front on this in a wholly honorable way that we should all respect. And that if he can do this, this will create a different climate of public opinion. And when the legislature meets, it will have thought of this. When the governor sees this, undoubtedly he already approves of it, but this will help him shape his discourse. I believe that leadership has to start somewhere.
Zan Bros, tonight, give us the details so people can check out your books that you wrote a long time ago and haven't written another one since.
David Borlaug, seated across from me in his purple tie, brought you a gift basket.
Yes.
Because we're going to Zan Bros, and David may be a guest host here shortly.
Yes.
Yeah, we're working on that. But
what time?
Zan Bros at 6 to 8. Zan Bros 6 to 8. Zan Bros 6 to 8, downtown tonight.
Are you going to be serving the walleye I bring you, or are you going to wait to bring that back?
I'm going to hoard that. I'm hoarding the walleye.
Hoarding, a walleye hoarder.
I'm going to hoard the walleye.
That sounds like it's a moneymaker on some cable channel. Walleye hoarder.
Yeah, it's a reality show. I've been approached.
You have.
And I want you in it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm down
in a
with
fishing
that.
House somewhere on Greater Devil's Lake.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, business as usual. Good to see you. Merry Christmas to all.
Yes, Clay. Thank you for stopping by. Please come by again. Please guest
every
host
Monday
my
I'll
show.
Be here now.
Please
every
guest
Monday.
Host my
yeah,
show. Sometime.
Anytime you ask.
You're requested all the time, and you never... I just asked if you wanted to do it this Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, you give me like 1 hour notice.
Well, welcome to the real world. I mean, do we work 7 months out on this or what? It's talk radio,
give
man.
Give me one
boom,
week,
boom,
honey.
Boom, boom, get ready. That'll wrap it up for today's program.
I love the salt.
Tomorrow. Thank you, Clay and David, for the presence. I'll see you tomorrow.